Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you for joining us here on AFR. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Brother Ed.
Hey, good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson.
Yes, good morning.
How you doing, Fred?
Doing wonderful, wonderful.
Well, folks, we thank you for listening to AFR. Ed, if we have listeners who would like to join us on Facebook or YouTube, live video streaming, and I can't imagine why you wouldn't. What do they need to do?
Well, you can go to either Facebook or YouTube, search for Today's Issues, and then you click through and you can see our smiling faces where they can see you and I, but they can't see Fred, who, because of the COVID, is in Studio Venus. He's about 50 yards away from us in an underground, an unnamed, undisclosed location, an underground bunker.
Well, that's not to say I have COVID.
No, that's right. We're just trying to keep social distancing.
Yes, just wanted to clarify.
Alive
that.
And well.
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, you guys, I call you the hockey boys.
Right. Yes.
Here. It's a club of two.
Well, three.
Here we at American Families.
Ken Green.
Oh yeah, Ken Green. Yeah, club of three. Mm-hmm. The hockey guys. So how's that winding down? Or
well, my Boston Bruins will probably get bounced out tonight. They've not been playing well, and the team they're playing against is playing fantastic. They're down 3-1, so tonight's probably it for hockey.
Yeah, we're giving Ed tomorrow off.
Oh, you don't have much faith either that his team's going to win.
No, Fred's been watching. He knows what we're up against.
All right. So now hockey got into the PC club the other day, didn't they?
Yeah, they canceled games, Friday and Saturday?
Yeah, postponed games Thursday night and Friday night because of the Jacob Blake shooting in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
What were they protesting?
I know that the games weren't being held, and I know on the Jumbotrons inside the hockey arenas, they had a big video message that said, "End racism." And Tim, I got to tell you, I had never thought about that until I saw that on the Jumbotron. And then I just slapped my forehead. I said, why didn't I think of that? Why didn't I think about us ending racism? What a great idea.
Right.
So
right.
The NHL really changed my life.
Hmm.
So that's thoroughly tongue-in-cheek. Listen, I'm not making light of real racism. That is a sin and affront against God, who created all of us in the image of
Jacob,
God.
But Jacob Blake, the incident in Kenosha, Wisconsin, was not an example of racism.
I don't think it was. This is a man who had a felony sexual assault charge. He was at the location where he had allegedly assaulted the woman. He would not leave. The woman's mother called the police. The police show up. This guy's got a rap sheet. He's got a warrant. He then proceeds to fight with them, has three kids in the vehicle while he's doing this, and then says he has a knife in the car. He's walking to the, listen, it's tragic, you know, all the way around with all the stuff that was involved in this. But how you can think that
he's a hero.
The police went there thinking, good, I'm going to go kill a black man. That's not what happened. But
that's what the NHL is.
And the NBA.
And the NBA.
That's the narrative. And actually, they're not, in my opinion.
And the NFL.
And they're not helping the racial dialogue in this country by making Jacob Blake into a martyr.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, and that's going on all around. You know, that's the latest. Is
right.
That this Jacob Blake fellow who's paralyzed because of the gunshot wounds.
Shot seven times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. By the way, you and I were talking the other day about this. I don't want to dwell on this, but you were saying to me, I didn't tell you I was going to ask you about this, that police officers are trained to shoot to kill, so to speak.
Well, my understanding from having talked to officers and having read up on this, that if a police officer pulls his weapon and feels like his life is in danger or someone else's life is in danger, they shoot to kill. They don't. In other words, it's not like the movies where they shoot the gun out of someone's hand. They empty their magazine, because if it really calls for them to shoot somebody to save someone's life, you shoot to kill. And that was my understanding.
So that might explain in that instant where this guy's fighting with Jacob Blake as he gets in his car, he shoots seven times.
Yeah, shot him seven times. So now,
and you know, these people who are saying he shot him in the back, as if the guy was turned away reaching for something in the car. Of course his back is going to be to the police officer.
Right.
Is the cop supposed to wait till he turns around with said weapon, perhaps, and then go, oh, at least I didn't shoot him in the back.
Right.
Now I can take my chances.
And we assume that the policeman knew he was reaching for a knife. For all the policeman knew, he was reaching for a gun.
But according to those who are critical of the police, Fred, they would say that the cop there is supposed to wait to see what he pulls out.
Yeah, those kinds of comments come from people who have never been in danger, never been police officers, and all of a sudden they're experts on how a policeman is supposed to make a decision, a split-second decision.
After they've been dealing with a guy who has a warrant out for his arrest for sexual assault and has fought the cops before.
Yes.
And he's fighting them on the ground, and he gets up to and completely disobeying what they tell him to do.
Right. Yeah.
And then that's the guy we're celebrating.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the guy who's the martyr here, according to the woke crowd.
Yes.
Now listen, the Derek Chauvin thing in Minneapolis, where he was on the suspect's neck for 9 minutes, that looks really bad to me. Now, I'm not prejudging it. Let the system work and figure out if Derek Chauvin is at fault. But that looked really bad. But the Kenosha, Wisconsin thing, I just don't know what people expect policemen to do.
Well, it's kind of like the situation in Atlanta with that other incident that's being protested. I mean, there's a guy pulls out of the vehicle and comes out of the vehicle and then escapes and has the shoots at the police officers, and then they chase him.
Yeah, I know. Here's what I don't understand. You guys help me on this one. Maybe I think I understand, but I would like to hear from you guys here. People like LeBron James and then Drew Brees. Drew Brees is with the New Orleans Saints. They're wearing Jacob Blake on the front of their helmet as they practiced the other day. Mm-hmm. And other NFL, NBA players and teams. Why don't they come out and say at least this? They say, listen, what happened to Jacob Blake, we got a problem with because A, B, and C.
Right.
But let me say to everybody in America, especially to young males, do not resist the police officers. Do not fight cops when you're stopped. Do that, and your chances of living go up 99.9%.
Right.
Then we can resolve things and look at things in the justice, that word.
Yeah.
That's why we have a justice system. So why can't these people just say that if they want to be fair about the whole thing and help people? In this case, young black males say to them, don't fight the cops. Why don't you hear that, do you think, Ed?
Well, I think because that goes against the narrative that, first of all, the nation is racist, white people are racist, white cops are racist, and young black men can never win. And so when one gets shot, they're looking at that as being they're forced to protect themselves because they're going to be killed anyway.
So I'm not putting words in your mouth. So Fred, if you take that approach, then you're saying that resisting arrest, fighting the cops, you need to do that if you feel like it.
Yeah,
you're justified in that if you feel like it. That's what they're.
Yeah,
that seems to me what they're advocating.
That's what the woke crowd is. But to Ed's point, they're using these incidents, they being the far left, are using these incidents for a political agenda that really has nothing to do with police. I mean, these crowds, this violence, these Marxist Black Lives Matter organizations, we've stated many times, is a Marxist organization. They are using these incidents for a political reason. And what is that? The political reason is they basically want a Marxist socialist government in this country. To that point, last night, the police in Kenosha released a report. Of the 175 people arrested in Kenosha because of the violence there, burning down businesses, burning cars, of the 175 people arrested there, 102 have addresses outside of Kenosha. In fact, they come from 44 different cities across the country.
And wait a second, Fred. Are you saying that the vast majority of these people are not honest, to goodness, Kenosha citizens protesting what they think is an injustice? These are people maybe connected with radical groups trying to foment discord?
Well, and to your point, Ed, a little bit of sarcasm little there. A right? little bit. Remember last week the Kenosha police stopped a couple of vehicles? The tags on the vehicles, the license plates were from Oregon, and they had canisters of gasoline in those vehicles.
Fireworks.
I mean, the evidence is there, folks. This is orchestrated. There was another protest in Washington, D.C. last night. Same kind of modus operandi being used there. They're going down the streets of suburbs. These are folks from out of town. It's well organized. Dan Bongino, who you see on Fox News, he was part of the RNC Trump speech Thursday night there in Washington. He said one of the protesters he ran into was staying in the same Willard Hotel in New York.
In D.C.
And pardon me, yes, in D.C. So these are
upscale
folks.
Upscale hotel.
One of the most upscale hotels in Washington, D.C. I mean, the speculation is this, and there is some evidence as we see the Kenosha police coming out. These folks are traveling gangs. Well-financed.
Professional protesters.
Professional violent protesters.
Right.
Professional violent protesters.
So at some point, I hope the FBI follows the money.
Yes.
When some of these people get arrested, I think they need to have their bank accounts seized, and like as you do in the process of any investigation, find out where they're getting money, question them, ask, I mean, because it seems to me that this is too well organized. We've all heard the stories of in Minneapolis, remember the pallets of bricks that were delivered so that people would have, you know, weapons at hand to break out the store windows. It just seems very well organized. There's got to be money behind these protests. I don't want to start speculating as to who may be footing the bill, but hopefully we'll find out. Yeah. I have some suspicions.
Yeah,
which I'll keep to myself, because that's what I do.
The president's going to Kenosha tomorrow, right?
President is going to Kenosha this morning.
This morning?
No, pardon me, tomorrow. The governor of the state, Tony Evers, has not put out the welcome mat. He doesn't want Trump to go there. He says, Kenosha is healing, and you'll only cause problems, Mr. President, if you come here. Now, the president is going there. He's going to be meeting with police officers. Police union want to meet with him, kind of to give their side of the story. Now, today, Joe Biden wants to talk about what's going on in Kenosha, but he's not going to go to Kenosha. He's going to Pittsburgh to talk about what's going on in Kenosha. All right?
Why is he not going to Kenosha, as he said?
No, he hasn't said that. I don't know whether his mask will be good enough in Kenosha. The mask he wears all the time?
Yeah.
Yeah. There may be a problem with that. Plus, I don't think he's allowed to wander any further than 500 miles from home. Something of that nature, perhaps. Listen, the president is going. He's taking all kinds of heat from these Democrat-led cities. The mayor of Portland, Ted Wheeler. Are you ready for this, folks? So this is going to be cut number five. Ted Wheeler, mayor of Portland, Oregon, that has 90 straight nights of violence, The mayor of Portland, Ted Wheeler, says it's all the president's fault. All the violence is all the president's fault. Cut five.
Do you seriously wonder, Mr. President, why this is the first time in decades that America has seen this level of violence? It's you who have created the hate and the division. It's you who have not found a way to say the names of Black people killed by police officers, even as people in law enforcement have. And it's you who claimed that white supremacists are good people. President Trump, you bring no peace. You bring no respect to our democracy.
Who is that?
That's the mayor of Portland, Oregon, Ted Wheeler.
Is this the guy who's had the riots in his nightly riots for 90 some days? That's Trump's fault?
That's Trump's fault. All Trump's fault.
Well, first of all, the fact that he said white supremacists are good people, yeah, that's a lie that's been repeated since Charlottesville.
Oh, me. But this guy must be desperate just to... You talk about pass the buck.
Right.
He's the mayor?
He's the mayor.
He's the mayor, and that's this going on for months?
Yes.
And now all of a sudden it's Trump's fault?
He failed to bring peace, Tim. Huh? He failed to bring peace. That's why why President Trump single-handedly... ignited 90 straight days of violence.
Hey, I wonder if this guy was fact-checked by anybody in the left-wing media.
No, but he was fact-checked this morning by White House spokesperson Kayleigh McEnany. Here's what she had to say. It's cut number eight, Brent.
That is a preposterous assertion. What is responsible for the violence is this deeply irresponsible defund the police movement. And when you go back to the Obama administration, it was none other than Jim Comey who identified the Ferguson effect, which is when there's this rush to judgment, this criticism of police officers, they pull back. And what we've seen with defund the police is when you literally get rid of police officers, there is an uptick in violence. It's what we're seeing in Portland. Mayor Wheeler is responsible. He's not charging individuals. And by contrast, the DOJ has charged 74 individuals with federal crimes. So we're doing all we can. But until he accepts our help, there's a limit to what we can do.
And that's an important point she just made. You know, Wheeler is blaming Trump. Trump has offered to send in help to stop this. And Wheeler says, no, we don't want your help.
Yeah.
Well, I don't blame the mayor of Portland because President Trump started all this. He's been agging it on this whole time for 90 days. So if he shows up, he's just going to cause more destruction in Portland. So I can understand what the mayor's saying. I know this is
you want to fact check yourself right here.
Sarcasm Monday.
Yeah. All right. So, by the way, fellas, related to what we were talking about earlier with Kenosha and the uptick in violence we're seeing around the country and the fomenting of disrespect for the police, I think it's four officers were shot over the week, two in Chicago, two in St. Louis. One of the police officers in St. Louis died.
Shot in the head.
Yes.
Now, I don't know all the circumstances around that, but he was... Anyway, he passed away. I mean, it's a dangerous time for police officers. I know I saw in New York City there were two traffic cops that were slugged.
Because they're not allowed to carry weapons, right?
Right. They were slugged by somebody having an argument in the middle of the street. The traffic cop comes over there to say something, and then the guy slugs him, knocks him down. It's just... I think the people who don't like police officers to begin with now are emboldened.
Yes.
To confront them, and then if something goes bad, they know the cop's going to be blamed. Right. That's what's going on.
How would you like to be a police officer? Not only does the mayor of your city pick big city America wherever you're at, not only does the mayor not have your back, but in some instances, like New York City, they're taking away your weapons, your ability to defend yourself. And you get beat up on the street.
Yeah. Well, these daily videos that are being released from New York City, and I know it's a town of 8 million, 9 million, 10 million people or whatever, but still, it's daily. The violent criminals are becoming more brazen, open with their criminal activity. I wouldn't walk down the streets of New York right now. New York City right now. I wouldn't. Maybe later. Maybe it'll return to being a safer place. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim with Ed and Fred. Have you seen any polling on the presidential race since the Republican convention last week?
Well, there are a number of polls that are coming out now. We talked in the last couple of weeks about even when the Democrat convention was on, the President Trump's numbers were gaining, and he continues to gain. There are a number of polls out there in the last 2 or 3 days which would indicate that the American public sees President Trump as the answer, not like Mayor Wheeler of Portland, Oregon, who claims Trump is the problem. They see President Trump as the answer of bringing some degree of normalcy back to the country to protect them. There's an Associated Press story. It's on One News Now this morning. And the headline is, basically this, is that more and more American people are saying, you know what, I don't like what's happening. The headline is, Trump is winning over people tired of the riots. The American people are getting tired. Every morning they're waking up and they're seeing some city in America under attack, buildings being burned, businesses being looted. They don't see Joe Biden as the solution to this. They see President Trump, and some of the numbers are starting. We talked about this at our story meeting this morning. There are a number of polls out there that are indicating that President Trump is now being viewed more and more as the person who will bring an end to this. The American people are tired of their cities being burnt up, of businesses being looted, and they just don't see any solutions coming from the Democratic Party to this.
Let me ask you guys something here on that topic. How do you guys think the president could put a stop to this? This seems to me, regardless of what the mayor of Portland said, this is clearly not the fault of Donald Trump. This is whoever's instigating it is being allowed to continue by Democratic Party mayors and governors of Democratic states, blue cities. How could the president get this under control without their cooperation? I don't see how he can.
Well, let's remember how this all started. Okay, this all started after George Floyd died in Minneapolis.
Right.
Now there were a lot of people who marched for Black Lives Matter. Remember that? I mean, millions of people across America.
Right.
And it was in response to that, and they were trying to show the narrative was that police officers are out to get black men and kill black men, and therefore we as a country are standing against that police brutality than the Black Lives Matter. So that's how all this started. And they were relatively peaceful protests, you know, demonstrations. But then it morphed.
Right.
Now with lesser numbers, you're not seeing millions of people out burning stuff.
Right.
You know, like you did see in the marches. So most people were generally supportive, a lot of Americans, of the marches and the demonstrations as long as they were peaceful, even though a lot of folks, like myself, said, you know, this is a false number. In other words, police officers, you can't demonstrate via the numbers that police officers are
out to get and
are
kill.
Hunting young black males. That's just not true. But if you want to demonstrate and protest something, go ahead
and America.
Do that. But they morphed into. We don't have time to answer your question. But how did this become President Trump's fault?
Well, how does President Trump solve this if he's reelected?
Okay, we'll talk about it when we get back from the break.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Sandy Rios of Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Senator Rand Paul and his wife, Kelly, they were deluged. They were spotted by protesters. Rioters, anarchists.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
8 Days of Hope has traveled the country since 2005, loving and serving the brokenhearted after natural disasters. From coast to coast, volunteers from around the country respond usually within a day or two of a disaster to bring hope to those who are feeling hopeless. Once again, volunteers are needed. 8 Days of Hope is deployed to Lake Charles, Louisiana. We're looking for volunteers. You need to be at least 18 years of age. It's free. We provide food and lodging, and you'll meet volunteers from around the country. There's limited amount of space due to COVID, but for more information, the best place to go is 8daysofhope.com. Please pray as families are waiting for someone to bring them a glimmer of hope. We have all the equipment and tools needed for any volunteers who decide to come to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Again, we'll be there for at least the next 3 or 4 weeks, and all the information is on our website, 8daysofhope.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. The world of professional sports has gone full-blown woke. Just the other day, Major League Baseball players walked off the field in protest of recent police-involved shootings of black men. NBA players disrupted their playoffs, and the Hockey Diversity Alliance asked the NHL to postpone games. Several NFL teams canceled practice as well. Tennessee Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill delivered a speech lecturing the nation on the lack of empathy for social justice causes. He went on to say America was infected with systemic racism, completely oblivious to the fact they live in a country where athletes of color are making hundreds of millions of dollars on the field and through endorsements. It's hard to feel sorry for guys who claim to be oppressed while making $25 million a year. For that much cash, many Americans would love to be oppressed. Be sure to listen to my national radio show live noon to 3 Eastern and download my free podcast at toddstarnes.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back to the radio program, Today's Issues on American Family Radio. If you would like to send us an email, it's comments@afr.net. Comments@afr.net. I'm Tim with Ed and Fred. We thank you for listening to AFR. President Trump will be visiting Kenosha, Wisconsin tomorrow. And he will be, I guess he'll be meeting with local law enforcement.
That's Fred? The plan. That is the plan. Yes, sir.
Abraham Hamilton III was telling us during our meeting this morning that I guess it's the aunt of the young lady. Again, we want to get back to your question in just a minute, what President Trump, but the aunt, the young lady that was at the home where Jacob Blake went to, has accused him of raping her.
Sexual assault.
Are we still? Okay. Got a power outage here at our offices, but I guess our generator kicked on. So her aunt tweeted out that something about this guy's a rapist, Jacob Blake.
Yes, Jacob Blake has... now I think he's been arrested.
And this
arrested.
Is a black lady. These are
yes.
all black, the black young woman and the black mother. Go ahead.
Yes. The it's an adult who claims it's a woman who has at least one or two children in her home. She said Jacob Blake broke in, sexually assaulted her. She filed charges immediately.
Back in June.
Yes, it was
I think it was.
over here in the summer, maybe July. But so there was an arrest warrant out for Jacob Blake for sexual assault. He shows back up. Now, this is the aunt of the woman who claims she was sexually assaulted,
yeah,
is saying she called the police because he shows back up, wants to see the lady, took her car keys so she couldn't leave. So the police are coming to, looks like, an apartment complex.
A 911 call.
911 call. So they're coming. They're finding out who this is. He has an arrest warrant out. And so they're coming to a jacked up situation. But the aunt of the woman who claims she was sexually assaulted by Jacob Blake, she's the one that called the police to protect her niece, if I got this right.
I just don't see how you, like you said, I don't see how you take that scenario you just described and turn that into a racial event.
Well, because the police who wound up shooting Jacob Blake were white. That's how it became racial.
But, okay, we've been over this. But
yeah.
But their situation is this guy's fighting them.
Yes.
And they got a warrant out for his arrest. They're supposed to arrest him, bring him in.
Yes.
So this quite frankly makes a mockery of real racism. If that's going to be your claim, that scenario is worth rioting over, or worth the NFL, the NBA, NHL protesting. That's it. That's what they're that's racism in America. Wow. Yeah, there's two different worlds.
You wonder if these athletes have any idea of
the facts of the matter.
The facts of the matter.
Or even wait till the investigation's done?
Yeah.
No, nothing like that. Back to your question. Fred, do you have an answer? How does President Trump, what's your question posed
okay,
to
my
us?
Question is, as Fred was talking about some of the shifting poll numbers where people are beginning to see that President Trump is the law and order candidate. Joe Biden will not be able to stop what's happening in these cities. So my question to the both of you is, how is President Trump supposed to stop the riots and the looting and the violence in these big cities when the mayors won't?
Well, I think he has to keep doing what he has been doing, and that is supporting police officers. We have various police unions, New York City, et cetera, support him. I think the time is running out, and I mentioned the story we have on One News Now right now. People, even those, we have a montage of former Democrats who called into, I think it was C-SPAN the other day, who say they're switching their vote, they're going to vote Republican. I think a growing number of Americans are on the president's side who keeps saying we must return to law and order. I believe there is an end to the patience, even amongst liberals, to the tearing up, the looting, the destruction of these cities. How much longer can the mayor of Portland, Oregon, keep saying it's somebody else's fault that these protesters are in my city tearing the city up?
Okay, well, see, let me go ahead and let me kind of piggyback off that. Go ahead. Did you want to say something, Tim?
Go ahead.
I think what the president should say is, I'm a law and order president. Here's what these mayors should be doing. If they're not going to do that, you need to elect Republicans. You need to elect Republicans as mayors and as city council members, because that's the only way this is going to stop. Back to what Tim has said on a number of occasions about cities like Portland, like Seattle, until the people living there get fed up with it and elect people who are also law and order people like the president, I don't see how the president stops this. This stuff is going to continue as long as Democrats, who, Tim, you've mentioned, are soft on crime, and until you elect somebody else, I don't know how the president or anyone else can do anything about it.
And I think, and I've made the prediction before, I think if the president and Republicans have a substantial win in November, that is going to put pressure on these Democrat-led cities that they've got to make some changes, because they like to stay in power as well.
Yeah.
So to your point, you put all of this together. If the president has a big win, that tells these Democrat mayors and governors, hey, listen, I'm on the losing side of this, and so I've got to change. if I want to keep my job. Now, you can argue their ideological point of view is so strong in their minds they won't change. But then it goes back to what Ed said, the American people are going to have to decide what kind of country they want.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's, in that respect, I think there's two Americas, though. I think that the citizens of Portland are fine with all the rioting.
Until it comes to their neighborhood.
Yes.
Well, they're fine with it then. Because they're not calling for this guy to be this mayor. He's not. He's not being recalled. There's no. I haven't seen any protest of Portland citizens saying this is terrible leadership. Have you?
No. And you know what? There's my dad.
So Seattle, same thing.
My dad and I one time were sitting around the table. I know I'm playing into all the stereotypes. One piece of pizza left in the box. My dad says, Ed, go ahead. I said, no, I don't want it. You have it. He said, your mouth is saying no, no, but your eyes are saying yes, yes. Okay? So how does that apply to this right here? There are people in Portland who may say, oh, this is terrible. This is terrible. Your mouth is saying no, no, but your votes are saying yes, yes. So I know that's an awful long way to go for the point I'm making. So I'm sure there are some saying this has got to stop, but they want the people in power who are keeping this going.
Okay, by two Americas, this is what I'm talking about. Fred, I don't discount everything you said, Fred. It makes a lot of sense. However, I would say this. People in big cities are liberal, by and large. They're liberal voters. People in rural areas or who live outside of the big cities are mostly conservative or law and order people. So the people in the big cities like Chicago and Portland and New York, they embrace, quote, progressive politics. Progressive politics says that these people that are committing the crimes and the looting and have a legitimate grievance. And that's why the DA in Portland says, I'm not going to charge people with crimes unless they burn down a building, maybe. You remember that press conference the guy had?
Yeah.
So the mayors, city council, the city, look at the Smollett case.
Justice
in Chicago.
Smollett. Mm-hmm.
The DA, and in Chicago, she didn't go, the lady's going after the couple who had the guns.
In St. Louis.
Yeah, St. Louis, excuse me. So I'm saying that if you live in a big city in America, you live amongst people who are soft on crime themselves, and they believe that's the righteous thing to do. So you're going to get the results that you get, more crime, and you're going to have to say, I'm going to live with that in the name of I don't know what the name of. In the name of not persecuting minorities or people of color or people who are down who have a hard way in life. So I think you're going to continue to see this crime rise in these big cities because of people who live there. Most of them don't agree with punishing the criminals because they feel sorry for them. Now, you may not like that answer. I think that's an answer.
Go ahead, Fred.
Well, I was just going to say, until, and to a point Ed just made there, until it hits their neighborhood. Last night in Washington, D.C., these protesters took their protests to the suburbs or to the residential neighborhoods. And I think it was after midnight, they were shining bright lights in the people's bedrooms and screaming and hollering outside. I just think these protesters have overplayed their hands.
Oh, I think generally speaking across the country, that's the perception now, and that's definitely helping President Trump in the polling.
Yeah.
Can I just toss in? I read or heard, I don't remember, it's been a decade, a really good explanation of why, because I agree, most big cities are generally going to vote liberal or vote progressive or regressive, whatever you want to say. And I always wondered why that was. And the explanation that I got, and it just makes a lot of sense. Don't know if it's factually true, but you have a city like New York City. I looked it up. Their population, the current metro area population of New York City in 2020 is 18.8 million. Okay. You're going to have almost 19 million people in a huge area like that. You have to restrict individualism. You've got to have laws. You've got to have write tickets for someone when they jaywalk because the traffic's got to flow. In order to have some semblance of order in a city that big, government has to have a bigger hand in terms of regulating daily life. So you write tickets for something that in Mayberry, you may say, all right, I'll give you a warning. That always made sense to me, that in big cities, people are saying, well, we're all on top of each other. Someone's going to be in charge. That's going to be the government. I'm okay with a lot of laws and regulations to kind of keep order in this. When you get outside those big cities, you can have more individualism because people aren't shoulder to shoulder. That always kind of made sense to me if the city actually has order. And what you're seeing in some of these big cities is order breaking down. Mm-hmm. Now I think people start thinking, well, wait a second. You're supposed to be keeping control of disorder and chaos, and you're not doing it. Maybe it's time for a Rudy Giuliani, for example, a Republican. Yeah.
Now, in New York, they are voting with their U-Hauls.
Yes.
And there's, because there's been a lot of stories about people moving out of New York City because of the rise in criminal activity that's going on. I don't know if it's happening in other big cities, but I think this is helping President Trump on a more general scale. He's not going to win New York or Chicago or L.A. or anywhere like that. But you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Go ahead, Fred.
Well, I guess you put this next story under the category, I can't believe this is happening, but it is. The other day on National Public Radio, taxpayer-funded National Public Radio, they had a person on who says looting is a good thing. They actually the author is Vicki Osterwell. And she said, looting strikes at the heart of property, of whiteness, and of the police. It gets to the very root of the way those three things are interconnected. And also it provides people with an imaginative sense of freedom and pleasure and helps them imagine a world that could be. That was an interview on NPR. Well, author and Army veteran Rob Smith, this is going to be cut number three, says leftists that say looting is anti-white supremacy are out of touch with reality. No kidding. Cut three.
When we have these white liberal writers like Vicki Osterwiel or anybody who says that looting is a good thing and they're trying to kind of like romanticize this for a liberal audience, these people rarely live in the communities that looting strikes. These people rarely engage with any of the citizens that this looting and rioting and destruction actually damages. And when these people are making these ridiculous arguments that looting is somehow it strikes to the heart of getting back against whiteness, or this is just a great thing. These are these very weird academia conversations that have no basis in the lives of real people.
You see, people like this author, in a university classroom, they can get away with that. But now that we're seeing looting, you know, we go back to the incident in Chicago, that Rodeo Drive of Chicago, there a couple
Miracle
of weeks
ago. Miracle Mile.
The Miracle Mile. I mean, these were upscale stores. One of the, I think Ray Pritchard was saying, is one of the most beautiful shopping areas in the United States. Looted, destroyed. I think the left hears this kind of thing, you can have this sitting around sipping your lattes. But when it's happening in our streets, the American people are saying, even those who lean left most of the time are saying, not in my town.
Well, listen, this argument that this author, Vicki Osterwiel, is making, the name of her book is In Defense of Looting. This is a Marxist argument. Okay, I know we keep saying Marxism. Listen, I'm just finishing up an article I'm writing for the December issue of the American Family Association Journal. It's about Marxism's blood-stained hands. Okay, to write this, I read again for the umpteenth time, Communist Manifesto by Marx and Engels, Lenin's The State and Revolution, several other firsthand accounts. They all make this argument. I mean, Leon Trotsky, all of them, all the heavy hitters. Okay. They all make this argument that law and order, because that's what Vicki Osterweil says, that she says the rioters who smash windows and take items from stores are engaging in a powerful tactic that questions the justice of law and order. All these Marxists say law and order is an expression of a capitalist state which is trying to protect the private property of people who have stolen it from others. This is a Marxist argument she's making. She's saying, because all of these, Lenin says there is no place for law and order. The revolution has to sweep all that away because laws and police, I mean, it's just about what we're seeing in our country. Laws and police defend the private property rights of the oppressor. So when Vicki Osterweil, or Wheel, whatever, when Vicki says looting is good, we don't have to protect and support law and order because law and order is unjust. It is defending the oppressor. This is a Marxist argument that she's making that is 175 years old. This is Marxism. When we talk about cultural Marxism, we talk about communists wanting the revolution. We're talking about defunding police because they are the support for an oppressive state. This is Marxism in the streets, America.
Yeah.
And now this professor has this book, and she's on NPR using a Marxist argument.
Yeah. All right. Well,
happy Monday.
Well, the bottom line here is, so you believe that there's evidence to support that that the Black Lives Matter movement is being exploited, or is exploited the right word, to promote Marxism ultimately?
Well, the organization Black Lives Matter mm-hmm. is Marxist. The yes. founders, co-founders said, we are Marxist, we're trained Marxist.
Okay.
The sentiment of Black Lives Matter, okay, questions of police propriety, okay, that's a discussion that every society should have to make sure those who wield the authority do so in a, from a Christian perspective, a biblically just way. What these people are saying is that the whole system is rotten and needs to be done away with. And that is the sentiment that this author is saying in defense of looting. So, yes, this is a Marxist revolution that is happening in our country right now. Most people don't know it.
And I guess the question is the American, are the American people willing to accept this? And I think that's going to be the big question. To that point, Senator Tom Cotton has just released an ad, and I want to get your reaction to it. To the point we've been talking about, President Trump's basically his pointy end of the stick in his campaign right now is law and order. Have a listen to this ad that Senator Tom Cotton has just put out. It's cut number 7.
Over 80 days of riots, and the liberal mob is becoming more violent. Now they're coming for your homes. They're coming for your business, your job, and there's nowhere to hide. The violent mob wants Joe Biden to be president. Then no one will stand in their way. No one will be between your family and the mob. Don't let them win. Vote Republican.
I'm Tom Cotton, and I approve this message.
Is that a winner?
Well, I'm listening.
Got the movie voice guy.
I was going to say it has everything other than, but the actual movie voice guy sounds like it. Well, listen, I don't disagree with those sentiments. I mean, Tim, you said two different Americas, two different ways of viewing everything, and I don't see the common ground here. I don't know. I don't know how you compromise. Nancy Pelosi called Republicans enemies of the state last week, or maybe it was the weekend prior. I don't know. The the years just blowing by. You guys remember that?
Yeah.
Called Republicans enemies of the state.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. How do you compromise between Republicans and Democrats when the Speaker of the House, the leader of the Democratic Party in the House of Representatives, calls you traitors?
Yeah. You know, I don't have a problem with politicians. I know this is like fantasy world that people could be honest in politics and government and the news media, but I don't have a problem with people. For example, let's take President Trump. If you want to criticize him for A, B, and C, all right, that's fine and that's fair and that's the American way. But I would only say this, as long as it's based on factual information.
Right.
It's truth. Not something you make up or lie about. I'll give you an example. You heard that mayor a while ago is a southern word.
A while ago.
A
while ago.
We made up, I don't know, about 100 years ago. It means a while ago. But you just throw it all in there together.
Right.
Get it out of the way. So a while ago, you heard the mayor of Portland say that President Trump... do you have that quote again? You have that mayor of Portland?
You want to play that clip? We have the clip for you.
Yeah. What is that clip?
We played it early
in the hour. Cut number five. Here's what I'm talking about. This is a way you gin up hatred against President Trump and his supporters by saying things like what this guy just says. Listen to him.
Do you seriously wonder, Mr. President, why this is the first time in decades that America has seen this level of violence? It's you who have created the hate and the division. It's you who have not found a way to say the names of Black people killed by police officers, even as people in law enforcement have. And it's you who claimed that white supremacists are good people.
Okay, stop right
there. President Trump.
Stop right there. That guy's doing exactly what he says President Trump is doing.
Mm-hmm.
He said good white supremacists?
Right.
Okay. President Trump never said that. Never said anything close to that.
Right.
Not even with the Charlottesville situation. So you say that kind of thing, that gets on left-wing blogs. That's Biden is saying the same thing about Charlottesville. They never finished the quote from the president. So it's meant to intentionally manipulate people's minds into thinking President Trump goes into his bedroom at night and puts on his white sheet, you know, KKK right. Grand Wizard outfit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's day and night they feed that. President Trump... They had so many African Americans at the Republican National Convention last week speak about wonderful success stories in our country.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Many of them attributed help they got from President Trump in one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
He pardoned Alice Johnson, was it, the black lady?
Mm-hmm.
Who had a great story. By the way, so many of these people were Christians. Did you notice that?
Yes. And John Ponder was another one that he pardoned.
And what happens? MSNBC hostess says it reminded her of a minstrel show.
Right.
Blackface. In other words, these people really weren't black. So you just keep repeating this day and night, that President Trump's a racist and everybody who supports him is a racist. It's not true.
Right.
No evidence for it. Then you blame, that's the reason the Portland mayor blames everything on the president on a false premise that President Trump is a racist and everybody who supports him is.
Right.
Even if you're black.
Yes.
Even if you're black, you're a racist if you support President Trump, says the left. That's what they're saying. Now, we'll be back with more happy good news a little bit later, 5 minutes from now.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.